I'm Harry, digital marketer by day, crypto enthusiast by night.
And I'm Mel, a new kid on the blockchain.
Join our convos breaking down the basics of digital assets so that you can understand the world of cryptocurrency.
Strap in for a wild ride into the cryptoverse. We are so excited to have an esteemed Nux, an esteemed guest on the podcast today. He's a certified blockchain expert, an NFT enthusiast. He is also the VIP customer support lead at Dapper Labs and a Bored Ape Yacht Club owner. I am also proud to say that he is an ex-Capamilia here at Globe Telecom, or, well, now we're Anima. Harry, what about you? Any intros for our next guest?
I'm so excited because, you know, as I was saying before our recording, na, it's always been my dream to one day own a Bored Ape. So I'm sure our listeners are super curious and excited rin to learn more about what do you get if you own a Bored Ape. J-Bond, welcome to the show. Welcome to Step Into the Cryptoverse.
Woohoo! All right. Wow. All right. What an intro. But thanks for having me. It's always great for me to talk with anyone who's been with the Globe family. I've been out of Globe for almost a year now, a year this month. So been a long journey. Well, it's a short 1 year, but felt a long time already. And I'm looking forward to talk more about like my Web3 journey in this podcast.
So yeah, before we start, maybe you can give us a background of your career, because it's so interesting. You switched from Globe to a tech company based in Canada. Let's talk about your journey there.
So yeah, I was with Globe for the longest time. Ever since I graduated college 8 years ago, I started with Globe. Been with Globe for 7 years and had a lot of great memories and great things that I worked on in Globe. I felt like that was the best thing in the Philippines if you want to work for tech or in the tech landscape. I think Globe gave me that opportunity to work on content partnerships, dealing with partners like Amazon, NBA, and such in my tenure with Globe. So I felt like I was kind of really in the forefront of technological advancements, particularly in the Philippines. Like what we can do in the Philippines with our partners has been great in a Globe perspective. But when I got into Web3, I guess, or when I got into NFTs and saw it up close and really started becoming a collector, that's when I started to realize that there's a lot of things that's still unexplored in the internet or in the web. And I think this is a novel new industry that's developing before our eyes. And it's something that I'm excited to work in and work for, or at the start, excited to be a part of. So I started out as a collector of NBA Top Shot. I collect moments in NBA Top Shot. I consider it like trading cards or the future of trading cards. I like the proposition wherein a lot of the newer collectors are saying that, or the newer collectors in NBA Top Shot are saying that it's gonna replace trading cards. Obviously, we don't know if that will be true years from now, but the proposition is there. It's the same behavior. You collect moments the same way as you collect cards. Obviously, there are some differences and stuff like that. But in blockchain, there's no maintenance cost, essentially. And that's what kind of intrigued me in terms of like collecting moments. Like, for example, if you own like a LaMelo moment, rookie moment, and he becomes a Hall of Famer 30 years from now, what will that moment be worth by then? So that was like my kind of mindset when I entered the NBA Top Shot. I had no crypto or any NFTs before then. Zero. I was very skeptic of crypto and other NFTs when I started out with NBA Top Shot. The only reason why I tried NBA Top Shot is because it's NBA. It has that stamp of authenticity that it's branded by NBA. It's a legit product. And I'm grateful that I did. I'm grateful that I tried because it opened up the doors for me for NFTs and all the other cryptocurrencies. And essentially, that's when I started to like get into crypto, get into other NFTs.
Yun, you mentioned your background, how you work, how you got into Dapper Labs. But we can talk about naman your background with Bored Apes. So how did that happen from NBA? Like you said, you were skeptic of crypto and NFTs. how did you get into buying a Bored Ape? And baka you can tell our listeners then, what is it like to own a Bored Ape? Diba? That's medyo legendary moves.
So here's also the thing. I found Bored Ape through NBA Top Shot. A lot of the early collectors in NBA Top Shot migrated or bought Bored Apes early on. Minted Bored Apes. I didn't mint my Bored Ape. I consider myself a bit late in terms of like the earlier adopters. But my mindset back then was like all of these NFTs might be going to zero and still is. Like there are a lot of NFTs being churned out every day. And I still consider that a lot of these will be going to zero. So early on, I thought Bored Ape would be the same. Who in the right mind is like paying $100?
Wait, at the time, how much did you pay for it?
At that time, in Ethereum, it was 0.39 for my first one.
Wow.
I think in Philippine peso, that's 40,000 pesos.
Oh my God. And how much is one worth now?
Well, it dipped, but I think currently a little below 150K USD.
What? Okay.
So, yeah. And at its peak, it was like at 450K. Never did I think that it will be like that. As I was saying, I thought it's something that will just go to zero.
You took a chance. You super took a chance.
I took a chance, but I only did it because I had a sign. I saw Roham, CEO of Dapper Labs, bought a Bored Ape, changed his profile picture into a Bored Ape. And back then, I was only looking up to Dapper Labs as an NFT company. No other companies, in my opinion, back then were able to develop a legitimate NFT. I'm not yet as aware before in the NFT landscape. I'm not yet super following the other NFTs like Curio Cards, which are like the earlier NFTs, Curio Cards, Art Blocks, and of course, CryptoPunks. I'm not yet as into those NFTs. I only see Dapper Labs back then because I'm an NBA Top Shot collector. And I also know from their history that they also developed CryptoKitties. And for Roham to buy a Bored Ape and change his profile picture into a Bored Ape means a lot, in my opinion. Like, why will an industry leader buy a new NFT that just launched like less than a month ago and change his profile picture into such? So that's my trigger to look into Bored Apes, give it a chance. The moment that I joined Bored Apes, the funny thing is I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I just took a chance. Okay, I'm buying this NFT. Now, what's next? I even messaged Bored Ape Yacht Club on Twitter and asked them, okay, I bought this ape. What's next? What should they do next? And they told me, they replied on my Twitter. And like, they told me that join Discord, interact with the fellow apes, and join the community and welcome. And I did that, and from that point on, I realized that, hey, I think this is a good movement. I think it's very sticky. A lot of people are like really own up to their apes, really make it as their profile pictures, giving identity to themselves, or like tying their identity with their apes. And it's just such a great community from the start. And I felt like I don't want to leave this community anytime soon. I felt like it was home. From the start, it was my Web3 home. I didn't feel like that on NBA Top Shot because obviously, like, there's a lot of collectors. This is like a smaller movement to begin with, and I felt like, okay, I'm more at home at this. I am interested to meeting new people in the community, and I thought I can't proceed being a Bored Ape with just one ape. So I bought another one 2 days later. Obviously, it's like in Philippine terms, it's like expensive, like spending almost 100K in a span of 3 days is no joke. But I was like on the mindset that willing to try it out. It also helped that last year I was thinking of like starting a business, but I was like, how can I start a business in a pandemic? So essentially I have that funds to work around that I'm thinking of investing elsewhere. And I just took a chance on Bored Apes, and I still own both.
You're not going to let it go.
Not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. Wait, just to give context to some of our listeners out there, I would say that the Bored Ape Yacht Club is a super exclusive community, would you say, of collectors. Was it only 1,000 or 10,000 initial?
There are only 10,000 Bored Apes, fixed supply, in the Ethereum blockchain. And in terms of like what it gives you. It does not only give you like the IP rights to the apes, which is the first time that an NFT project did that, because all the other NFTs before were like art, and obviously like the creators have the rights, or the whoever owns the ape can leverage on the ape, like make a business out of it, use it for their brand, etc. And we've been seeing a lot of that right now. Like, for example, if you follow Snoop Dogg on Instagram, he's always posting this ape. He's even made a business out of it, like that as the mascot. So a lot of the ape owners can do that if they choose to. So that's one. To also add to what you were saying earlier, Mel, it's an exclusive community, because what Bored Ape Yacht Club did is that each NFT is like a pass to the community. It's a key to access the membership to the Yacht Club. And by being a member of the Bored Ape Yacht Club, there are a lot of perks that you can get. And we can go to that in a bit if you want separately, but I'll only touch on some of it. So some of the perks would be free NFTs. So we got Mutant Ape Yacht Club for free. We got Bored Ape Kennels for free by holding Bored Apes. We get access to merch. So Bored Ape Yacht Club merch is like supreme in Web3. It's like if you resell it elsewhere, it's like times two or more, especially for the earlier version. So obviously that's a good opportunity as well for owners. And obviously like access to events, whether it's digital events. So we've had like mobile games, treasure hunt, puzzles, etc., which have great rewards. And obviously as well in real life events, like the one in New York, Ape Fest, which is already in the second year. And in this year's Ape Fest, you had big time celebrities perform, like Future, Lil Baby. Well, Madonna is in another project, which I also have an NFT. It's a World of Women. But for Bored Apes, their last day was Lil Wayne, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem were there. So, yeah. Who have Bored Apes? Okay.
I just want to run through like a few of the celebrities who are part of this club. There's Madonna. There's Tom Brady. I'm going through the list. Justin Biebs, Fallon, Post Malone. It's just... The list goes on and on, which is why, and then you were talking about the many utilities attached to being part of this club. This is why I would think that the BAYC has the biggest influence when it comes to NFTs and NFT ownership right now in the space.
Yep, it does. Also, like to add more context and like credibility to what Bored Ape Yacht Club did in a span of like a little more than a year. It started out in a mint price of 0.08 Ethereum, which is like $200. Right now, its floor price is at 95 Ethereum, which is like, you know what I mentioned a while ago, I think less than $150,000. It flipped CryptoPunks in terms of floor price. CryptoPunks is the OG profile picture project. No one thought that they'd flip it, but in terms of like pricing, Bored Ape Yacht Club did it. And I think that's what like added like credibility to the membership. Like a lot of people wanted to get in. It's like an exclusive club with only very limited people able to access it. And Yuga Labs, the creator of Bored Ape Yacht Club, was able to raise 450M. Seed round, I think that's the biggest seed round in the recent history in tech in the US to create their metaverse. They also bought off the rights to CryptoPunks and Meebit. So now CryptoPunks and Meebits are also owned by Yuga Labs. So basically, they're like the NFT, the NFT project.
It's their world, and we're just spending in it.
Yeah. J-Bond, did you ever get, I know you were in NFT NYC recently, a super big NFT event. Were there a lot of these Bored Ape celebrities there? Did you get to meet some of these like big names?
Yeah. I'm actually sad that I missed on day one Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon was in Ape Fest. I didn't get the chance to see him there and before. They were both there. I got the chance to meet the co-founders, Gargamel and Gordon, and as well as this CEO of Yuga Labs, Nicole Muniz. I also got the chance to meet and speak with NBA players like Tyrese Halliburton and Rudy Gobert. They were there in Ape Fest. And obviously, like I mentioned earlier, I've got the chance to watch some of the Bored Apes perform in Ape Fest, like Lil Baby, Future, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem. They all own Bored Apes.
Wow, sarap. That's crazy. So Ano pa mga nangyari sa NFT NYC event? What else happened? Or in ApeFest, what happens in those kinds of events?
So in ApeFest, first and foremost, what they did in the venue is like very remarkable. They really branded it and changed the venue's look into like a Bored Ape venue. Like they had this big inflatable of Curtis, who is like the mascot or like the mascot ape of Bored Ape Yacht Club. They have logos everywhere. They changed the venue. Like it has several floors. There's a merch booth. There's with long lines. There's a lot of like art and activation around the area, which is all alluding to Bored Apes. And obviously in the top floor, which is the rooftop, you have your free drinks, overflowing food, lots of apes, interactions and networking, and obviously the event. So that's in a nutshell what the Ape Fest is. It's a music festival exclusively for Bored Apes. So think like Coachella, but only for Bored Apes. And I think an opportunity for them in the future will be to make something of a grander scheme or a grander reach that will be token gated or like tickets via NFTs. That would be huge. And like they put up a lineup like that, I think it could be like the future of music. But for Ape Fest, in a nutshell, it's a music festival exclusive for apes. Apart from Ape Fest, I've been to a lot of other meetups and networking. So that's also one of the things that I went for NFT NYC. I've met a lot of the apes there. Some are CEOs of their respective companies. Other are builders of their own things, or own projects in the space. Others are OGs and all of these. Great to have a face to the people you only talk to online on a daily basis. So the networking is great. And like what I can say, it's the bear market right now in terms of crypto and NFTs, but no one talked about prices in NFT NYC. It's all about the future and like what the limitless possibilities of NFTs and Bored Apes and IPs and stuff like that in the future. And it just made me so bullish on the future of NFTs in general. But yeah, I've also been to other events in NFT NYC, like Cool Cats. I mean, we talked about Madonna earlier, that was World of Women, and other NFTs that I'm into, like they had their events. So apart from Bored Apes, what also made me happy about NFT NYC is that you see other projects as well, having their own activations, their own thing happening all at the same time. Obviously, you can't be everywhere, but it gives you that sense of great feeling that you see everyone building on their own and doing their best to like build the future for their own respective communities. And I like that. And like that only made me more bullish on the industry that I'm in. And I think we will just be bigger from here on.
This is a great segue, I think, because, you know, you mentioned being in this environment where everyone is talking about the future and being bullish. Obviously, the market right now is down. There's so much talk about the NFT bubble bursting. You know, I think the hype era is now gone, but I think we're in an interesting pivot of NFTs where we see the utility, the utilization, people seeing the practicality of it now. What is your outlook for the future then? What was on everyone's mind when you were in that environment?
Yeah, so I kind of touched on a bit on it earlier. I mentioned that when we are in NFT NYC, there were no one who was talking about like floor price. Floor price is a good indicator of like how successful a project is, but it's not end all be all. Like I see projects, for example, that are so obsessed on their floor price, like when one ETH, when two ETH, don't list below one ETH and two ETH. Like no one's forcing Bored Ape owners to list at 95. They can list at 80 and all of that. And like we don't force these things to happen. It's just natural. And like what's important is like how you build your project, how you build the community, and how you build the trust that your community has to the creators and the project founders. So I guess we are in a state of NFTs wherein there are a lot of NFTs being created ever since last year, especially in like the gold rush. So I kind of consider it like a dot-com burst in the early 2000s. Maybe similar to that, maybe there would be another which might be a bigger purge. But this is a good phase, I would say. You can see who are really quality projects, who are really sticking around and like building and like adding on to the utility and like the roadmap and like what can happen for the project and the limitless possibilities behind it. And that will make it easier for collectors, investors to identify like which projects do they want to bet on. Because in a time like this where everything's down, you can see like the diamonds in the rough. So I think NFT NYC is a good ground for you to kind of assess who are like the projects that will be sticking around or who has a great potential in the future and like bet on those, I guess, accordingly. Obviously, NFA or not financial advice, but those things, like how you see them build, those would be great indicators and like what they can do further down the line when we get back into a bull or like when we get back on more developments relating to NFTs moving forward.
Anong sagot mo sa friends mo or people on your feed when they say, ano ba yan? Scam lang yan.
Okay, so one thing I would say is over the course of my tenure as a collector of Bored Ape, I've gotten a lot more dividends than I ever did on a stock market. Like a mutant ape, which I got for free, and I got 3 mutant apes. I think the floor price right now for a mutant ape is 25K USD or 30K USD. So that in itself, like I wouldn't get that from a stock market, say, or like any other investment. It's a way to like reward the early believers. But obviously, like people will say, okay, that may be Ponzi. But what you are seeing here is half a viral growth of demand. There's a fixed supply. And when you put the law of economics there, obviously, like you are working with fixed supply. And if the demand increases, obviously the price increases. And in my opinion, there are a lot of things that can happen still with owning these kinds of assets. We are just barely scratching the surface. And I think when we see more of the like the metaverse being developed, like people will crave for an identity there that they can own. And I think that's an avenue for NFTs. There will be more industries as well that will migrate to blockchain and NFTs will be part of their solution, like commerce, for example, or fashion. For example, and these apes, for example, or your NFTs would be your main identity wherein you dress up, you show off, and things like those. So that's another. Another use case or bull case that I have for NFTs is like people will think that it's scam, but when you see your younger generation, particularly your Gen Zs and the kids, they are living through a digital world already. You have your Minecraft, you have your Fortnite. They're used to a digital world, and NFTs is like a natural progression for them. When they already have the purchasing capacity to get an NFT, it will be like a natural progression for them to have an NFT, to have something they can own. Because in Fortnite, if they stop playing, they already like lose everything. They can't sell like an item in Fortnite without selling their account. And like if you have that kind of environment, but as an NFT, you can sell the wearable and still have your personality in. And last but not the least, I would say NFTs is a scam, but I've just a Snoop Dogg perform live. So I don't think you can do that if NFTs is a scam. I guess it's a testament to like the utility that can be provided to NFT owners. And there would be more of this. So I guess my advice would be keep an open mind on things like this. This is like the future. I myself, like I mentioned, I was skeptic at first on these things. But by keeping an open mind, it gives you the ability to like look into it and see opportunities that you wouldn't have seen if you are close-minded into these things. It may not be something that you like, but those who control the future are, there's a lot of other people who control the future, whether you like it or not. And okay, fine, people will say, this is not the future that I want, but you have to deal with it. It's going to happen.
So that's your advice for collectors, no? How about people who are starting their own projects? A lot of Filipino projects out there. You, as having worked with, you know, some of the biggest NFT projects in the world and having been involved in like some of them, ano yung advice mo for like Filipino creators who are like starting NFT projects?
One of the things that I am seeing in terms of like new projects that's being started in the space is that they fall on the fallacy of like just looking at the floor price and like obviously, like when you start a project, see the project launch, and like if you see people selling off below like a mint price, that's gonna hurt you as a creator. But I would say, like, before you create your own NFTs or before you create your own project, you must have the right mentality, I guess. Why are you in it? What do you want to do? What's the goal that you have in mind in developing an NFT project? And stick to that. That will be your rock as you go through this. And if you are still confident that I am doing this because of a purpose, then no one's going to stop you. But if you are doing it just for monetary gains and all of those things, it might be shaky. Obviously, the gains are there. It can be made, but I don't think that it should be the end all and be all. I think you need to have a solid reasoning on why I'm doing this and why I'm in it, and like stick to that and be true to that every time.
I want to circle back to your experience being a Top Shots fan, and a lot of trading happens with NBA Top Shots. And you think that this is the future of collectibles. What do you say to detractors who say na pwede ko naman yan lang i-screenshot? You know, why purchase a digital collectible? That's my question.
Actually, the same can be said of my board ape. Why will I buy an expensive board ape if I can take a screenshot of it? I always go back to the definition of NFT. What is an NFT? NFT is a non-fungible token. What you are buying is the token, not the photo, not the video, not the image that you can see. I would say that those are just like, if you are buying an item, that's just the wrapper. What you're really buying is when you take off the wrapper, you have the token. And the token can be a key to anything. And going back to like a Bored Ape Yacht Club example, that token is my key to get another token, which is like a mutant ape. That token is my key to unlock experiences like I had in New York, which is the Ape Fest. And I've seen these A-list celebrities and all of that. The same can be said of NBA Top Shot. You are not just buying like the video. That is why in NBA Top Shot, you have serial numbers. Say there's 10,000 moments of a LeBron James that was released in Series 1. Number one moment will always be more expensive than number 9,500, for example. Because there's this perceived value that it is the first mint. Obviously, the market is the one that's deciding all of these things. But you can't really do that if there's really no difference in value of each token. And I guess that all boils down to it being non-fungible or different from one in chain. And the same goes, for example, with NBA Top Shot, a collection of moments can unlock opportunities for you. Like we've sent people to NBA Finals, NBA Playoffs, NBA Draft. We've gifted a lot of these collectors signed jerseys from Kevin Durant or any other NBA player. So these perks, you don't get that anywhere. But what the blockchain does is you have the token, and from our end, we can see, okay, you have the token. We can reward you accordingly. It has that transparency and at the same time, anonymity. You don't need to tell us your name for you to qualify. You just need to show us that you own these tokens. And that's the same with any other NFT. And I think that's what makes it beautiful, that there's this transparency and there's this unique identifier that can be added as a layer to the NFTs, which is not available without the blockchain technology. Like, for example, you have your Starbucks, you have your reward card, wherein you put stars. You lose a card, you can request for one because like they can look into your data. But obviously, you need to submit those things back to them. But as an NFT, you don't need to give your personal data to any other brand. You just need to buy their NFT, and that's basically your identifier that you are a VIP for that brand. So obviously, that's some unlocked opportunities that you have for brands that can be tapped in the future, but that's more for the future of NFTs.
Would you say na parang tanggap yun na that there are some people out there who will really just screenshot it and just share it?
Yeah, especially like
it's part of the game.
Yeah, especially for like Bored Ape owners, like there are a lot of like detractors just screenshotting our apes, but they did get ApeCoin. Oh, I didn't mention that I got ApeCoin for free. bunch of ApeCoins. So which is at its peak, it was like $27 USD. Right now, it's at $5 USD. But still, like I have tons of ApeCoins, and like I got that for free. And like those screenshot apes, they don't get ApeCoin because they don't have the key to unlock that experience. So that's it. Like you can screenshot it. It's, I guess I'll end with this. It's like Mona Lisa in Louvre. You can search in Google for Mona Lisa and you can have photos of Mona Lisa there. You could even get painting of Mona Lisa in your house, but that will never be the original. And who tells you who's the original? It's the proof of authenticity, and the proof of authenticity is with Louvre. So that's the same with NFTs. You can download, share, and even like replicate these NFTs, but the proof of authenticity will always be in the blockchain, in the smart contract that's tied to that asset.
I love it. That's such a great analogy.
So, you know, as we've been talking about bear market now, and there's been a lot of dips.
Yeah.
Maybe you can just give your final 2 cents and advice to our listeners who want to get into NFTs, but, you know, they're scared right now given the bear market. What can you tell them?
This market is actually very scary right now, especially for newer collectors. Like, I myself had been a bit rattled when these prices started to dip. But I see it like as part of a cycle. I look at it at a macro level, what's happening on a global scale. You have wars, you have the pandemic, you have inflation running up, you have interest rates running up. And like currently, a lot of the cryptocurrencies are pegged with tech stocks, for example. So you've seen like all the tech stocks, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, they crashed. This bear market is not just in crypto. It's across all assets. So that in itself, obviously, like we don't know how long it will last, but it's not going to last forever. So my advice is like, obviously, look after yourself first. Do you have the excess income or like the excess savings to deep dive on this thing or like look into this opportunity for yourself? If you do, then that could be a great opportunity for you. Prices are down right now. And like when it goes up, like you enter at such a good time. So that's one thing. But obviously, if you don't have the risk appetite or if you don't have the liquidity beyond your needs, your current means to live, I don't advise you to do it. I myself, like I've been having conversations, for example, with my parents, with all of my friends, and they're saying, what if this goes to zero? I'm okay. Like, I've gained a lot of experience. I've gained a lot of knowledge out of this. And, like, obviously, I don't think it will go to zero, but I'm only playing with essentially play money. Essentially, it's something that I was willing to lose. If I invested it elsewhere and it didn't work out, I would be fine. So, have that kind of like thinking that what you're only putting in is something that you're willing to lose. And yeah, there are a lot more tips that I can share if you deep dive in like exploring and like if this is an opportunity for you. Look into those things first. And if you've identified already that, okay, I have the means, I have the money, I can do this, then research more on NFTs. You'll see brands, big brands, all trying to make a play on Web3. And like, that's the future. That's where we're headed. And it's a good opportunity for you to be here as early as now, especially like right now in the bear market. This is where builders build. This is where the new things that will come up like in a couple of years or in a year from now will come from. So it's a good opportunity.
And speaking of good opportunities, I think right now is a good time for JBond to shill his own jbondwagon.com. Where can people find you, JBond?
I'm always on Twitter. So my handle is at JBondWagon on Twitter. That's also my handle on Instagram, but I don't usually answer to DMs. Actually, anywhere. I don't usually answer to DMs anywhere. But if you really want to contact me for like consultation, business opportunities, or even just to have a more in-depth NFT 101, if you want an NFT 101 for yourself, for your organization, for your group of friends, you can go to www.jbondwagon.com and you can contact me via the form there. So that's something that I just launched this week. It's something that I want to grow moving forward in terms of like being a help for fellow Filipinos and not just Filipinos, any, well, especially in Asia. to learn more about NFTs, opportunities in NFTs, and how they can also join the Web3 bandwagon.
There's three C's in JBond's website. It's Crash Course, Consultation, and Collaboration.
Yes.
So guys, if you liked anything that JBond stands for or what he talked about, please check out his website. Check him out on Twitter. And with that, thank you so much, JBond, for guesting. Harry, any last words?
That was a lot of really great tips from JBond, and we have even more inspiring and entertaining guests in store for you guys amidst this bear market, no? So we will be bringing in more. So yeah, please keep on listening to Step Into the Cryptoverse. Thank you, JBond.
Thank you.
Bear meets buy.
Buy the dip. Bear not financial buy. Advice, but buy the dip.
Not financial advice, it's an outlook.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. If you guys have any questions, please hit us up. I will be on, or I am mostly on Twitter, at Mel_Alcaraz, and Instagram with the same handle. And Harry, where can we find you?
Twitter as well, Harry Initiative.
Yep, so let us know, guys, if you have any more crypto concerns, questions, concepts, etc., etc. Thank you for listening, and bye!